Good morning once more, Shalom. We have the blessings of studying the scripture together. We have been dealing earlier on by confronting the spirit of guilt. And now we are confronting the spirit of self-righteousness. The Israelites suffered from the spirit of self-righteousness. They misunderstood the blessings to have been a right for them. They forgot that it was a privilege. When God called Abram from Ur of Chaldean, his father, Terah, was a worshiper of gods. Acts 7 says, when Stephen was giving a testimony, he said that the father of Abram was worshiping foreign gods on the other side of the river. And so there's nothing Abram did, particularly nothing, no merit, no works. God chose him by his own sovereignty. And therefore it could have been very bad for him to think that he deserved to be chosen. Remember, he was called to go and declare to the sons of Canaan, sons of Ham, that Noah had placed a curse on. That curse had come from Canaan and had gone to, no, from Ham, son of Noah, and had gone to the grandsons of Noah, Canaan. And so Abraham was called to go and declare and reverse what Noah had said when he cursed Ham. God chose Abraham to go and reverse that, because he said, "I blessed you. Go and be a blessing to them." You see, a blessing is opposite of curse. That's why I'm saying he was asked to go and bless. Because when you talk about someone is cursed and you say Abraham was blessed, which is opposite, it means go and reverse, go and undo. And because it was said, it was spoken and by declaration, by statement of the Father, he was supposed to go and speak it. And so God said, "I've chosen you. And I blessed you. Go and become a blessing." He forgot that. And he thought it is by his own standards, his own will, that God had chosen him. And so here, we continue to learn from Romans 9 and verses 17. We go all the way to verses 33. And what you discover here now is that God is bringing how he chooses political leaders. From Romans 9, verses 1 to 16, we saw how God chose spiritual leaders. Now, he talks about now here political leaders. And he gave an example, for the scripture says that God told Pharaoh. Now, he bring Pharaoh of Palau, "I have appointed you." This God speaking to to Pharaoh, and God is saying to Pharaoh, "I have appointed you for the very purpose of displaying my power in you and to spread my fame throughout the world earth." Do you know Pharaoh was God's servant? Maybe you've never read this. You only know that Pharaoh made the children of Israel slaves. But here, when Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he reminds us that it was God had already spoken to Pharaoh. Even when God was coming to punish Pharaoh, he had also spoken to him. This is a very powerful scripture. Look at, let me read again. For the scripture says that God had told Pharaoh, "I have appointed you for the very purpose of displaying my power." He knew why he existed, is to display God's power. And in you, I will spread my fame throughout the earth. So you see, God chose to show mercy to some, and he chose to harden the hearts of others, so they refused to listen. Now, apparently, the way God used Pharaoh is by making him harden his heart. By making him harden his heart, God was able to manifest the 10 plagues in Egypt. It is true that Pharaoh, the Bible says he was the one who first hardened his heart. But God hardened his heart harder because of the way Pharaoh had hardened his heart. But here, it's very strange. It's very strange. And we need to know that God says that he chose vessels from the same lump, from the same piece, and he make one vessel to show him mercy. And he shows another one that he can harden also to show his power. So we need to know God's two sides. There's a God of mercy, and there's also a God of wrath. We can only know God's of wrath when people have refused him, by refusing, by rejecting his word. And so he allowed Pharaoh to harden his heart so that he can display his power and he can spread his fame. And to this very day, if the whole of the world, the whole of the other civilizations that followed, the one of Egypt, they knew that God, the God who showed his power to Pharaoh, that story of what God did to Pharaoh made the Israelites cross to the Canaan. It made the Canaanites afraid. In fact, that story is the one that made Rahab, the prostitute, to be born again or to accept the visitors, the two spies, because he told them, we heard of what God did to Pharaoh and we heard what he drained the water. So that story, it makes that God's fame to go all over. But then you can say, is God unfair because of that? He is not unfair. One thing I was I think I saw it and I was very happy here, is how God deal with the people that he make or he allows them to harden their heart. Is that God chose very, very, he is very patient with them. Look at verses 22. Let me read from verses 21. When a potter makes jars of clay, doesn't he have the right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another jar to throw garbage into? So there are those jar, those vessels, those people that God says it's used to throw to throw garbage. And I show my power by that. The other one is for decoration. But both of them are in the house of the Lord. If you are in a house and you have only a vessel that can show decoration, and you do not have a vessel where we throw garbage, it will be so difficult. So you might think that showing, this vessel is not appreciated. The owner appreciates it. The owner appreciated. But look at what God says, verse 22. In the same way, even though God has the right to show his anger and his power, this is the other side of God, to show his anger and his power, he is very patient with those on whom his anger falls, who are destined for destruction. Now, this is one thing that the Lord has really put in my heart, that the people like Pharaoh, God was very patient. Very patient. Could it be that some of the tyrannies of the world, God might have chosen them to show his power and his glory, but then we want them to die. We want them to go quickly. But God is very patient with them. Why? Finally, God wants them to come to his knowledge. He shows them his power. He shows his power through them. Just like the way he said for his children, he also allowed them to go through suffering. And by suffering, he makes all things for their good. So even them that God has chosen to show his mercy, he also allowed them to go through difficulties. Just like this other fellow and all that. And so here we are getting how God chooses even political leaders. Let's look at our leaders based on those eyes. Sometimes let's not fight the will of God. Let's ask what God is saying concerning them. Let's ask why God allows them to come back again. But let's also ask God to help us to have grace in all what we go through. And so here we are told that God chose the Gentiles. He did not only choose one son from Abraham. And from the sons of Abraham, he did not only choose one of the twins. Now he's also saying, even the Gentiles belongs to me. And he says, I chose them. I chose, look at verse 24. And we are among those whom God selected, both from the Jews and from the Gentiles. Now, God now opens up to this firstborn son, telling him, I have accepted you, brother. I've chosen him too. I'm the one who chose him. Don't think that you're self-righteous. I chose you and I chose him. But you came first. He's coming now. But then he says, I want you to put yourself into the position of this firstborn as this scripture is led. That concerning the Gentiles, concerning your prodigal brother, the prodigal son, God says, in the prophecy of Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people. And I will love those whom I did not love before. He's now extending his love. And then at the place where they were told, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. Why? And concerning Israel, you firstborn, Isaiah, the prophet, cried out, though the people of Israel, you firstborn son, are as numerous as the sand of the sea shore, only a remnant will be saved. Why? For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth and quickly and with finality. And Isaiah said the same in another place. If the Lord of heavenly armies had not spared a few of our children, he would have wiped them like Sodom, destroyed them like Gomorrah. Why? Because of unbelief. So we are finishing by saying the problem of self-righteous is unbelief. Isaiah says that self-righteousness is like filthy rugs. Filthy rugs are the garments that are used for menstrual period. The way even the people who use them, they don't want keep them. They don't keep them again because they have served the purpose. Now, when we are self-righteous, Isaiah said, that's the way the self-righteousness is. And it is unbelief. Self-righteousness is the highest level of unbelief. So he concludes and says, the reason to why he punished them and did not accept them, although they were looking to be made right with God, they were not made right with God because they wanted to keep the law. They wanted to use it by their efforts. And they could not find God's standards. But the Jews who had not even asked of God, God made them right with him because they were keeping or they were trusting in the Lord. So the issue here is, let's trust God. It's God who does it. When we find ourselves in the table of the Lord, both us and others, let's get to know it is him who makes us right. The one who made me right is the one who makes the other right. I should not be able to become a stumbling block to those that are coming. And may the Lord help us. And may we not stumble for ourselves by unbelief. Self-righteousness is unbelief. Father, we want to ask that you may save us. We repent any form of unbelief in our lives, the one that has been manifested by self-righteous spirit. Forgive us and help us to know and appreciate that our brother has come back. Who was dead, he's alive. Who was lost, he's found. May we celebrate. May we not refuse to come to the table of our Father. In Jesus' name.